Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 174 of the Ant King Frequency. Larry just cracked his neck in anticipation. It was like the start of a kung fu fight.
Just murder people in front of the crowd to get them hyped up. Yeah.
Fair enough. Hey, go on, Larry. What you up to?
Well, working on the next comic, of course. It's a lot more detailed than I thought. And I'm like, yeah, four different stories, four different styles, four different locations, four different groups of people to draw. Why do I do this to myself?
Oh, so it's not a sequel to Neon Trash, available for purchase now. Check out details in the liner notes.
Nice shilling, my friend. Nice shilling. No, it's not a sequel. It is a kind of a launching pad. Almost like the closest thing I can think of would be it's called ACE, Anthology Comic Experiment. It's like my version of 2000 AD, except each story is four pages. There's four-page stories, so 16 pages in total. And so there's four different... it's a starring vehicle for four different characters.
Wow.
And varying stories. One deals with a demon, former demon of hell, who's now a courier. One deals with a mercenary who has cybernetic implants. Mm-hmm. in this jungles of South America or Central America.
Is it a jungle by the name of Valverde?
It kind of could be. That's the thing. It's like it's generic enough where it could what is the cabinet minister doing traveling on the wrong side of the border? a couple who have a uninvited guest ruin their evening in. Ooh, and the last one is about a hero of a small African nation that has been, is fighting against these evil forces that want to strip mine his country and kill his people if they have to get whatever they want, like the rare earth elements that they're trying to take.
Okay.
But one man will stand against them. That man's name is not Black Panther.
I was going to say, is the rare earth element called plagiarism?
Well, plagiarite, I guess we call it. There you go. Plagiarite. But
copyrighting.
Yeah, it's and, but, like my phone is going to vibranium off my table because they're going to say cease and desist. Yep. No,
Excelsior, true believer. Watch as we break Larry King's kneecaps.
They probably would. They'd probably try. And it's like, you didn't invent these kind of characters. The Phantom existed. We don't know what the Phantom is.
He doesn't work for us.
Not yet, anyway. It's not until Marvel buys up King Features and everything.
I'm going to get my lawyers to break his thumbs. Excelsior.
Watch out for my hairpiece, Excelsior.
Man, comics are messed up. Comics and the movies are messed up. Marvel's had it too good for too long, and the cracks are starting to show. We've touched upon this. But some might say DC are beyond the point of return. Like, they can't fix their film franchise at all. They'd have to just start all over if they did anything. Larry, how would you fix the DCU? That is, the DC Cinematic Universe.
The Ant King of Frequency.
honestly, the first way I'd do it, get away from going all kid friendly. Get away from the, what they did with Justice League and what they did where Wonder Woman, where you had this proper tone of horrific violence like you need in a war film when it takes place in World War One, and the awe and wonder of the natural world. It's like where you can go, because guess what? That's the dichotomy of our world, where you can have, oh, look at Wonder Woman. She's fawning over a baby because she's never seen one. Oh, she's never had ice cream. You know, she comes from an island of women that are trained to be warriors and battle. And so seeing a woman be like, yes, sir, this is like, no, you don't have to do that. You have other options in life. And nobody's ever told her. And like, oh, that's being whatever. It works. It works. The way at a candy, which is, and to also show people come back on boats with missing limbs and missing eyes and wheelchairs and shell-shocked PTSD. You need, I think they just need to embrace that because of, you know, trying to chase after that Marvel line is just, well, Marvel, you, well, they should have just done origin stories for every single character because everybody expects that from Marvel. Eventually, that's going to backlash. Eventually, Marvel's, you know, what is once loved becomes hated. What's hated becomes loved, given enough time. And getting away from that, going, well, we gotta lighthearted it. We gotta make it a light comedy with some action in it. We gotta make it Beverly Hills Cop, and that's exactly what they do. That's like they take,
well, that's definitely, you know, what the Guardians films were, and the most recent Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, they're not. This isn't some epic space like Thor. The Thor series, the Marvel stuff, like especially the space stuff, should be. I should think of like Flash Gordon, you know, not necessarily the 80 movie, which is, I love, as campy as it is, but like they're kind of the space opera, like the original Star Wars. I should think of that. I shouldn't think of, you know, oh, it's a light comedy, goofy stuff. And that's the problem with a lot of these things.
Yeah.
But DC should just embrace, in a way, Twilight of the Gods, because even if DC's got the legs taken out from under them. It's just how it goes. They didn't do that Justice League movie back in 2007, the George Miller, which may have been horrible, may have been good. Don't know. We'll never know. But with Thanos, you can't really do Darkseid. Well, Darkseid just ripping off Thanos. You know, that's the problem. People are stupid.
That's exactly what I was going to get to. There was an arms race there, a villainous arms race, and DC lost.
Yeah. And Marvel, in my opinion, they backed the wrong horse. Marvel strength is not in this one baddie. It is in a group of baddies. It's the meek shall inherit the earth. Instead of having Thanos, they should have gone with like a Masters of Evil, you know, Zemo, Skull, Abomination, Whiplash, you know, Justin Hammer, all these other characters, have them show up, Stane's son, the new Ironmonger, that kind of thing. Have these multiple characters that by themselves couldn't defeat really anybody, but together, like, have them give the beatdown to the Avengers and basically control Earth at that point. And then the Avengers have to work together. It's like, or Captain America would normally fight the Red Skull, so Iron Man fights Red Skull, and this, that, you know, back and forth.
Change dance parts. Yeah.
Exactly. Hulkbuster armor versus Abomination, you know? I think that'd be visually interesting.
I think Marvel's had more luck with their villains, though. For every forgettable villain like Ronan the Accuser, who is great in the comics but totally wasted in the film, there's, you know, someone like Loki, who comes to be a fan favorite, and there are even, tears shed amongst the nerd community when, spoiler alert, he's killed at the start of Infinity War.
Killed. Little trickster. How many times has he been killed so far these movies?
He's proper killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Death in comics, death in comic movies, it just...
Well, the actor's not signed on for any more Marvel films, so, yeah. He could come back as someone else. He could come back as a young girl or a boy. Heck, they've done that in the comics. Why wouldn't they do that in the films?
Exactly.
You know, one of the highlights, and again, another spoiler alert for Infinity War, for me watching that, was seeing the Red Skull come back. So, You knew he came back in that film, yeah?
Yeah, I know about that. It's like, probably the most interesting villain they had, you know.
It was cool. Kind of it was very sort of Dante's Inferno where he comes back. He's like this, you know, Stygian guide leading you through the realm of loss. I enjoyed that. And Hugo Weaving brings a certain gravitas to the role. Not that I'm a fan of the Red Skull or his ideals, but it's an interesting character, not just black and white. You know, the equivalent in DC, they can't claim to fame. Their best film of late, Wonder Woman, has a nothing villain in Ares. It doesn't help that he spends, you know, 7/8 of the film in another person's form. But yeah, it's just DC... The DCU film universe has a villain problem more so than anyone else.
I think honestly they actually have they have better villains than Marvel, and they have better potential. There's so much more source material to draw from DC, really? Considering the length.
I contest that their only interesting villain of late was Zod.
Zod, Feyora, well, the rest of the Kryptonians.
That enclave of villains from that one film, which was the last time DC took a step in the right direction.
I'm not the biggest Danny Houston fan, but the equivalent, he basically was playing Ultra-Humanite, for lack of a better term. And then you had Dr. Poison, which wasn't a big role, but I liked it was very like movie serial villain, Dr. Poison that was in Wonder Woman, you know, Dr. Maru, you know, doing the whole creating the gas to, I mean, it was very movies and it worked. She kind of reminded me of somebody you'd see like Indiana Jones, but, granted, Steppenwolf sucked, Lex Luthor sucked.
Steppenwolf sucked. Huge ones, like big sweaty, you know, camel balls. That's what Steppenwolf had, just tucked into each cheek like a squirrel.
I don't think camels can sweat though. They have to probably breathe in through their mouth. I'm not going to try to overthink this, I totally agree with you. I'm not going to go look this up. Do not Google that, my friend. Do not Google that.
So we've listed some of the problems. The other day, in my head, I worked out a solution. I worked out one thing they could do. Because the House of Mouse have what? That Feig guy? Kevin Feig, is that his name?
Yes.
And they still have Joe Quesada and Bendis weighing in on... Or is it Axel Alonso? Who else, along with Kevin Feige, is calling the shots there?
I think it's only like Kevin Feige. I think Quesada comes as a kind of. It's probably just like
token.
Token role.
So who's doing it? The equivalent of that over at DC, is there a showrunner? It was kind of Snyder, wasn't it?
It was, but I think now it's Geoff Johns. I think Geoff Johns has moved over to basically take that role.
Hence why we have Aquaman in everything.
my man, Geoff Johns. Got a big boner for the Aquaman. Yeah.
I will admit, though, his new 52 Aquaman was incredible. That was an incredible run.
I know. It's just the guy loves him. The guy will do everything possible.
There's reason to. But
Aquaman, but I like him as an outsider. I don't like him as the lead. He's a great support. He's like Martian Manhunter. Great supporting character. One of the best.
I don't know, man. I disagree. Martian Manhunter is one of those characters supporting. Yes, Aquaman, King of the Seven Seas. He's got good villains. You know, Orm, the Ocean Master. You know, Orm/Ocean Master, and then you have Black Manta. Black Manta, you've shown me on time and occasion playing where we've played Injustice 2. Yep. You play Black Manta, and I'm like, I hate this son of a bitch.
I wrecked you. It's rocket.
Did it attack? It was like, leave me alone! Damn it! Stop trolling me. So it's like, imagine fighting that guy. I mean, he's got long range capabilities. He's got, he can close the gap. He can kick your ass. But
okay, so my solution.
Visually interesting. Okay,
my solution means tapping something that Marvel can't do, because their equivalent isn't film friendly. My solution is two words, and I've already mentioned them to you, Larry. Kingdom Come.
Now that'd be interesting.
Or they just basically need to do a panel by panel Kingdom Come. Alex Ross has fleshed out what every actor should look like.
Now, are you talking about, would this be, is there anything after Kingdom, like now panel by panel Kingdom Come, or in Kingdom inspired by Kingdom Come?
Look,
because there's problems with Kingdom Come. I have problems with that, because, like, you know, you keep the core story, you know, but people could say, like, you can't really make a commentary on the darkness of, like, the Magog and these new generation of, it's like, you know, like, well, Superman, he broke the neck of Zod, and it's like, it doesn't.
Yeah, but the delightful conceit of Kingdom Come is that it relies so heavily upon well-known characters who are not there because of the events that have transpired. Kingdom Come's most impacting moments are not, you know, the main beats of the book. It's seeing Joker let off the laughing gas in the Daily Planet that kills Lois. It's seeing then Magog blow a hole through Joker's chest. This plays right into the post-Heath Ledger world, where the Joker is just as popular, if not more so, than Batman, despite everything Jared Leto's doing to disrupt that notion. Yes, I agree with you. There's probably a tactful way to adapt it, but a blow-by-blow, panel-by-panel, replay on screen, I think would be far less damaging than some of the stuff they could do of their own initiative.
Yeah, the downside is there's so much of, and I sell of Kingdom Come. Don't get me wrong. I have the absolute edition of Kingdom Come. Downside is there's so much of that that is, Kingdom Come to me is the first, corporate. It's a corporate fan comic. It's a corporate authorized fan comic. There's so much, like, you know, I mentioned to you previously that, hell, the, you know, Kingdom Come, the lettering, it's Total Recall. It's the same lettering from Total Recall, and it's the same style. It's like dripping down and all that. And oh wow, when you have, you know, like, oh, you don't really, you notice it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's, oh, there's a Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band as Mex. Oh, there's Chun-Li, but with a different color scheme. It's just too on the nose for certain stuff. I can understand. Alex Ross had to put people in the background. But there's a lot of DC characters he could have just had put in the background instead of just like, hey, it's Chun-Li. Hey, it's the Beatles. Putting that stuff in there. It just didn't click with me.
Obviously that level of fan service doesn't have to permeate. The other reason why I do this is that Marvel kind of owns and set the precedent for historic backstories. Which, you know, Wonder Woman was accused of retreading Captain America the First Avengers ground. When she did a World
War. And Thor
as well. But they haven't done anything, Marvel haven't done anything in their future yet. Yes, I know there's some time-traveling nonsense going on in the Infinity War films, but there's nothing at the other end of the line. That's where I reckon DC could really make a name for themselves with a futuristic take on things, and that would allow them to somewhat retcon everything that's happened in the past. You know what I mean? Like, they could create a false past based on that.
I could honestly, I would either go, you mentioned Kingdom Come, and that's your solution. I have an alternative. Instead of Kingdom Come, the precursor, something based off of that pitch that Alan Moore did for Twilight of the Gods, like a prevent a horrific future. It's like, oh, you think it's worth, kind of like what they kind of promised with Dawn of Justice with the whole Flash stuff or whatever, and oh, you gotta prevent the future, this, that, whatever. But instead it's like, do like what they were supposed to do. Have like John Constantine or something along his lines. Introduce bits and pieces. So instead of where you have a movie set in the past and setting up all these characters, like, oh, like this character, like, oh, well, in the Marvel Universe, at one time you had Nick Fury and Carol Danvers and all these other characters and Ant-Man and Wasp, and they did this and that, but like you never heard of it.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, this is in the future. These are the characters. This, so it's like, oh, so you have knowledge of the future, so you expect it. You're like, oh, there's a Hawkman of the future. Oh, what happened to you? You know, Katara, what happened to you? And like that kind of stuff. And like introduce these characters in the future so you can so in the next movie you can have Hawkman show up.
So Barbarian style. Instead of dream sequences to some apocalyptic invaded Earth, they should be having flash forwards to the Kingdom Come universe, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, basically treat it like that. Maybe like a mix of the Twilight of the Gods and Kingdom Come, but heavily Kingdom Come, because it's visually, you know, like to see, you know, a bearded, like a mulleted, bearded, long haired, which we saw a lot of. Because I mean, you know, Kingdom Come, there's bits of Kingdom Come that was put on screen, Man of Steel especially,
yeah,
and borrowed heavily visually, but I really think it could work if you kind of strip down Kingdom Come to the best elements of it. You know, the heroes getting back together, you know, a broken Batman.
Yeah, you know, a broken Batman. Mentally as well as
physically.
Yeah.
Because it's not just physically. It's, I mean, because all the abuse that his body has taken, but the, you know, like patrolling Gotham with bat drones, like to the point where he can't even do it himself anymore. Yeah. He's got to get machines.
And the other symmetry, which would be especially damaging after this year, would be seeing a corrupted Billy Batson.
Oh yeah, especially. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I mean, did you know this? And then have like the whole, which, you know, the whole Mr. Mind in the ear and all that. I'm like, oh yes, I saw Wrath of Khan as well, Alex Ross.
Yeah,
it's like, they put the creatures in the ears, Captain.
Look,
you know, it's. And I think it'd be great.
I still think it's something that.
But that would also.
Sorry, go.
That would introduce Mr. Mind as a concept.
Yeah.
You know, with the and all these other concepts could be introduced. Like, whoa, what's that? That's weird. And then you can, you know, have that show up. So if you see this, you know, Kingdom Come, and then have that come out, and then like, oh wow, you see, you know, Happy Go Lucky Billy Batson, you know, Captain Marvel, you know, encounter Mr. Mind. He's like, oh, he, you know, that's a threat. You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So there you go.
So that's exactly the kind of signposting retroactively from the future that I reckon that would benefit their universe, because Marvel's dominated the past and the present. Now, the other thing that they have over Marvel is Marvel can't follow them into this territory, not the same way, because what's their equivalent to Kingdom Come? What came out 2 years after that?
Earth X.
Exactly. And as much as I love Earth X, I'm as big a fan as the next guy. In fact, probably a bigger fan. I own all the volumes, as cost prohibitive as Universe and Paradise X became. It's just undecipherable for the uninitiated comic reader. You have to be, you know, a tetragrammaton level cleric of Marvel worshipper to get all the nuances going on there. At the very least, Sorry, go on.
Not to mention the context as well. You said the context, but the content, you know, Spider-Man got fat. Wolverine got fat. Jean Grey got fat. Oh, yeah, so Captain America now is a bum. He's got the A carved into his head. He looks like Bruce Willis. Oh, and he kills children.
He kills people, yeah, including children. Yeah, it's hard to do. And the other thing, Marvel would have to have all their properties under the one roof, firing on all cylinders. And it's a multi-ensemble story that doesn't just span time scales, but also dimensions and planes of reality as well. And Machine Man and whatnot, be very interesting to see him on the screen, considering he's an offshoot of a Marvel Comics adaptation of another film.
2001 A Space Odyssey, because that was, wait, 2001 Space Odyssey, was it MGM or Warner Brothers, actually? Let me look that up. I think it might have been MGM. If that's the case, A Space Odyssey, who put that movie out? Because I remember, because Kubrick, he worked with a bunch of different studios at the time. So if that was, oh, come on. internet's acting slow, very slow for me. Simple question and I can't handle it. But yeah. But yeah, people don't realize that X-51 Machine Man, you know, Aaron Stack, that is a spinoff of the 2001 Space Odyssey comic book. Not the movie adaptation, but the series.
MGM.
2001 series. Wow, so now MGM was owned by Fox. So yeah, now they could do it.
Yeah.
Now they... they can do it now. Oh my god. Well, you know what? That's
I know, it's just funny having a film spin-off as the Mary Sue for a reality spanning, you know, uber nerd thought piece into the Marvel Comics and the it's like a grand unification theory of Celestials and every single, you know, high art concept in the Marvel universe. So yeah, ultimately, like this jibber jabber I'm talking now, it wouldn't do anything on a film screen.
To find out the whole reason, like mutants exist, or they're an antibody, they're white blood cells of the Earth to created by the Celestials because there's a sleeping baby Celestial in the Earth, and Galactus is a intergalactic abortionist trying to stop Celestials. It's like in. Oh yeah, the new Galactus isn't Galactus at all. It's Franklin Richards, the son of, you know, Reed Richards and Susan Storm. And
oh man, I got chills when I first read that bit.
That was great, and it's like, I mean, the whole and then like the concept of like Reed Richards expanding his mind for the first time. Like he stretches his mind, and like it was really well done. Galactus shows up and
says, "Why did you call my name?" You know.
It's like, yo, Dad, you never talked to me. He's like, he doesn't realize who he is because he's gotten so deep in the role. He's a method actor.
Yeah, but that was only after Black Bolt killed himself calling out that name. Because, Reed Richards sends out Black Bolt to call out beyond the Celestials that are attacking Earth for help. And Black Bolt calls what Richards asks him to. And Galactus turns up and says, "You called?" And he says, "Yes, but you didn't use my name. Why did you call me Franklin?" And then,
it's really there's really good stuff in it. But compared to Kingdom Come, where like Kingdom Come, like you know, like you could take the aspect of they don't like, yeah, they could throw people in the Phantom Zone. They can easily, but instead, it's like we're going to these criminals. We're going to lock them up.
Yeah,
and we're not going to like, even though some people are like, let's just kill them. Let's go ahead and get rid of them. And it's like, no, we're locking them up, and then that goes south. Yeah. And then we got
Kingdom
the problem.
Comes
with the
so digestible.
Group.
The storyline is not new or revolutionary. If even if you just follow the panels of the comics, there's enough eye candy there, and people that are known to the hoi polloi that, you know, Ma and Pa can sit back and say, well, that's the Batman. And look at there's the Flash. And, you know, you don't have to be a comic person to really enjoy it.
Yeah, the idea of the Flash, he's just always on the move. There's like, there's no stopping him.
Yeah.
He's always on the patrol.
He doesn't even have a costume. Like he's just this red mass.
Yeah, it's like, he's like a blur. He's like a moving blur with the World War One, the Doughboy helmet with the wings and stuff, which is great. I love that stuff. But it's like the Mercury kind of deal thing too. But it's one of those things about Kingdom Come that works. So there's such visual interesting stuff. And then and I'm just thinking, you know, it's actually good. I think it's Godot, not Godot. It's Gal Gadot. But in the Eagle armor that she eventually wears and everything. Oh, I think that'd be pretty great to see that on the screen. Like which kind of looks like Pharah from Overwatch when you think about it with the Eagle armor kind of. But seeing her just kick ass, like throw down. Imagine Alan Scott Green Lantern with the emerald armor and everything like that. Like that would've been like, that would be great. I mean, I'd love to see that with the power battery in his chest.
Yeah.
You know, I think to see these characters and eventually you could show, it's like, show them in the future. And if you have to recast, you recast it. You know, like, it's too bad that Snyder's bowed out and all that stuff. I know people like, Snyder.
I think he has, especially after Watchmen, the director's cut, Snyder could have nailed that.
Like, I mean, especially the stuff, like everything. When Watchmen was great, it was great. There were issues, but visually, the tone, and also tone. Like, you know, like Rain Snyder in a tiny bit. You tell him, no, no, like that kind of thing. But especially with, you know, dealing with like when the riot happens. Yeah. In the Legion of Doom prison.
In the gulag.
In the gulag. Meanwhile, the gulag. And like, but to see like, you know, they're like the you know, the future, it's like it doesn't have to be this way. And like Norman McKay and the Spectre. And introduce all these other characters, like the true mystical aspect. They touch upon it previously in other movies, but to just show like Sandman show up and like all these little cameos and little hints and pieces, like, and where you, yeah, can plug into it.
It's schlocky, but that's one of the nicest, kindest elements to the reader of Kingdom Come, that this whole affair of gods comes down to the judgment of one man, and not a hero, not a fighter, not a detective or a cop. It's one man, so this old dude with a beard who's been granted witness to everything going on, gets the chance to affect the outcome of this event.
Yeah, and also bear witness of all the little goings on of this potential future, and like, you know, this is the way it could be, but it doesn't have to be this way. It will happen.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, you know, and have it, you know.
There's things you don't need. You don't need like the Wesley Dodds bit. You don't need.
I want Sandman to show up in some form, like, you know, not, you know. I know. I'd like to have like, yeah, because I think about it is like JSA is one of the most underrepresented concepts, whether it's in the comics or the, you know, definitely TV shows.
There's stuff that the viewer doesn't need to see, like Superman trying to recruit Orion, who's now pretty much just as bad as Darkseid on Apocalypse.
Yeah, that right there. Like, you might want, I mean, you could possibly do some kind of fourth world nod, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But like, as I don't know if you want to go full tilt.
The Aquaman bit, but cool. We see an old Momoa with a big white beard saying, "We won't intervene." You know,
I got a whole nation to worry. I got you don't have to worry about the land. I got 70% of the world to worry about.
Yeah.
I'm running stuff down here. Like, look, y'all, when I need help, y'all ain't there.
Look, ultimately, that's what I would do if I was given the money and the job of fixing the DC universe, or the DC cinematic universe. That's what I'd do. I have a backup plan, though.
Okay.
And it's very simple. It's very simple. A feature length international release, not just one of these targeted ones for territories like America. A feature length high budget crossover of the Berlanti universe.
Well, I haven't watched any of them since season, which one was it? It was when they did
season two of The Flash, season one of Legends of Tomorrow, and season five of Arrow. It was kind of like where I left that whole group. Oh, and season one of Supergirl.
Yeah, I just know of Supergirl. I'm like, this doesn't look interesting. She doesn't look that super
fun
to me.
It was fun.
Everybody says like it was fun. I was like, I don't believe it. I think all y'all have Mr. Minds like implanted in your head. Nah, or Brainiac.
There's worse out there. But that's it. Their worst was still better than the Justice League movie.
I know. I still have the Blu-ray behind me. It's like, I haven't watched it yet.
We all have our problems.
We all have our demons, right?
Oh, man.
We all have our parents.
Speaking
demons.
Of which, it was on Netflix, and my kid chose it because what he said was the pretty alien lady on the art. We watched Star Trek Beyond on the weekend.
Oh, no.
And yeah.
I'm sorry.
Even the four-year-old said, "Daddy, stop it. This is not right."
What part? The dirt bike action sequence in the future?
No, that's me just going, just don't watch. I can't remember what it was. I think it was just, yeah, Idris Elba chewing up the scenery because, of course, he was the only one there interesting. And, yeah, he said this.
Interesting. It's like, okay, so he's an Earth captain. He was part of the Makos, which is interesting, which is a
It was a good nod to Enterprise, the Makos. I really enjoyed that nod. But
so he went full native with the whole, I'm talking like this. Like, yeah. Stop it. Just like if he just had like a militaristic mindset, kind of like a, you know, it's like where he had an alien visage. It's like, wait, you speak our language really easily. It's like that kind of thing. That would make more sense.
Yeah.
It's like they're writing Simon Pegg, stay away from anything. If I see Simon Pegg written or co-written,
if Simon Pegg wrote any more of that film, there would have been a scene showing Scott's chest.
I'm surprised Nick Frost didn't show up in it.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, he just wanted to go back to watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He loves Quark now. Quark's his favorite.
Oh, that's great! Because Deep Space Nine is amazing. Deep Space Nine, it's my favorite Star Trek show. I know everybody loves TNG, but Deep Space Nine is where it's at. Yeah. But I think you're right. Kingdom Come, because Marvel can't do it. Marvel has to play to the kiddies. They got to play to the little Jimmies, as it were. You know,
Marvel has dug their own hole.
You know, keeping it family friendly. DC, you can go. I think they should go dark. And I'm saying go dark, like we need, you know, like Wonder Woman, like grabbing somebody, like a guy chases a woman down an alley and Wonder Woman shows up and grabs him by the balls, rips his balls off or something, and then throws it, you know, at the guy's face or whatever. You don't need that. But you do need, you know, to contrast. Like, one of my favorite stories DC ever did was a book called Golden Age. James Robinson, Paul Smith is they retitled the JSA the Golden Age. And they put Hitler's brain in a superpowered body and he attacks people on Capitol Hill and all these heroes get together. There's no Superman, there's no Batman, there's no Wonder Woman. Captain Comet's the strongest person to show up, you know? And like, Captain Who?
Captain Comet, a sort of a third level telekinetic.
Yeah, he's like, man of the future. Like, he's so man of the future, they just sent him into space.
Yeah. Well, I can move anything smaller than a coffee cup with my mind.
But it's great. I mean, it's a great story, but they should go more that route. And, you know, that aspect, like where Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, you know, you have these characters and then they have to face against, you know, the evil, the masterminds of like Lex Luthor and the council. You can introduce Damian Wayne, you know, with the whole, you know, the evil, the council with the Ibn al-Fash, whatever his name is, like the son of the bat.
Ibn al-Fash.
There you go. Exactly. I'm not going to even bother. But, you know, introducing these characters, and you could show like these members of, like, Rogue, like, you know, you can also expand upon it and correct it. It's like where maybe like have like old Bane show up. Maybe they roll like Bane in a wheelchair up into the
Gulag or whatever. I don't remember him.
I don't think he was, but like I would put him in there, like a reference to kind of like Batman Beyond when he's in the wheelchair and stuff with the whole, because of the steroids and everything for the Venom. He's like rolling up in there. He's like, but he's an old man. What can he do? Don't underestimate him. And it's like, yeah, he's like, his body's frail, but that mind's still there.
Yeah.
So he's planning. And he's like, mm-mm.
He's Captain Parking Bane.
And it's like, I shall break you. But I really think you're right. We should go that route.
I was wondering what would go first, your body or your spirit?
Or my bowels. Or
my bowels.
They should embrace the darkness, be different. It's not easy being, it's so grim dark and this. Like,
the other thing they're beholden to are the shareholders and the executives.
True.
Who are the most feeble, demented excuses for human beings. I mean, they're not even human beings. They're shadow wraiths. They're these creatures that exist purely for the dollar symbol.
They're pari-wraiths. They're pari-wraiths, my friend. Do you say that?
There we go. Except they don't grant anyone visions of all-knowing truths.
No.
They don't live in any wormholes. They live in Burbank. And, they're all banging their Pilates instructors.
And then casting couches as well. That's the true horrors of Hollywood.
Yeah. What Bryan Singer does in his own time is his own business.
There's bloody pools everywhere, my friend. There's bloody Ooh. Pools everywhere. Ooh.
Ooh. Allegedly. We'll just throw that in note, there. Allegedly. We might wrap it up. Hey?
Allegedly.
Near enough is good enough. There you have it. My idea with one hit to fix, or at least put it in the right direction, the DC Cinematic Universe. Don't be exactly like Marvel. Be better than them.
Be bold. Be different. Be DC.
Yeah. And that's ultimately what I put out there for all of you listeners, all of you Ant King frequenters. Be better. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.